This is another episode of Stand Up Comedy, your host and MC, celebrating 40 plus years on the fringe of show business. Stories, interviews, and comedy sets from the famous and not so famous. Here's your host and MC, Scott Edwards.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode. We have something totally different for you again. I keep mixing it up, but I'm trying to keep it entertaining for all the podcast listeners. So if you've noticed, some of the podcasts have interviews of comics I worked with over the 80s and the 90s. Some I still work with today. And there's also a lot of great comedy sets put together in various formats from the club days, again, from the 1980s and the 1990s. This particular show was a one-night-only show celebrating New Year's Eve in 1983. So this goes back quite a ways, but I think the entertainment is solid, is still very funny, and this New Year's format makes it kind of unique. Now, because it was taped live for New Year's Eve, it's a bit noisy in the background. You'll hear party horns and a lot of hoots and hollers, and that's because we're trying to have a big New Year's party for all the audience. We used to do two New Year's shows. We would have a show that ended at 9 o'clock where we celebrated New York New Year's. If you didn't know, my club was located in Sacramento, California, so we had a time difference, but was great for the club is that we could celebrate at 9 o'clock, calling it New York New Year's. We had balloon drops and the horns and the hats and all the craziness, and then we'd kick everybody out, reset it, and we'd have a second show that started at 10 and ended at midnight. And that show, the California New Year's Party, was really the big extravaganza, not only more balloons and more fun, but after the show, we opened up for dancing and a lot of times had music. New Year's was always a great time at the club. Anyway, the reason I'm bringing this up is this particular show, I'm only featuring the opening act and featured act from that special New Year's Eve. It was a headliner-packed evening. In this particular show, closing, actually the featured act of that night, but closing this podcast, a very funny comic I'm sure you've heard of, all the way from Russia, Yakov Smirnov. We were one of the first clubs. He started working as an opening act in the early 80s, and he had worked his way up to a headliner by the 1983. But in this particular case, because it was New Year's Eve and it was a headliner-packed show, he was the featured position or came up second on stage. We'll talk more about Yakov later in the show. Right now, though, I want to introduce our first act. This is a very funny comedian, Lois Bromfield, and she was a regular at the club all through the 80s and 90s, ended up being a writer of a lot of the shows you may know. She was one of the writers on the Roseanne show in the 90s and the Drew Carey show. Later on, she became a producer and writer for HBO in the early 2000s. And if you've never seen it, and we're going to get to hear it on this podcast, I'm so excited to bring it to you. One of her famous bits was Sorority Girls from Hell. It was a hilarious bit that she would do live on stage for the audience, but it was so good. HBO turned it into a little mini piece, and you can still find it on YouTube. All you have to do is search Lois Bromfield or Sorority Girls from Hell, and you'll get a chance to see this very funny short video. But what's even better than the video, we have the live performance of that bit on this podcast. It's extremely funny, very different and unique, and it comes with a lot of other material that Lois did at the time to celebrate New Year's with our audience. All right, why don't we jump into it? As I said, enjoy the comedy and entertainment of Lois Bromfield.
What's extra, extra special about this evening's show for you, this folks? Have you noticed in all the tickets and all the promotion that we did, we always said special guest. Now, what that means in reality is that we didn't have anybody booked. But through lots of strenuous negotiating and calling all over the country, a lot of long-distance calls to New York, to be exact, we were able to get a gentleman that was supposed to be here a few months ago. We had to disappoint the audiences, and he wasn't here. He's from Russia with Love. He is just saw his own TV, just was on TV with Scarecrow and Mrs. King. Just shot his first major motion picture as a star that will be coming out this summer. He is also a very funny and talented comic that was written up in Playboy magazine and all the rest. Ladies and gentlemen, our special guest for this evening, it's like having three headliners, Yakov Smirnov is here tonight. folks just today. One other thing I think we should mention, please take care of your waitresses, they'll be taking care of you. We gave you lots of noisemakers on your tables because we want you to have a good time and really bring in the new year right. But we don't want, we don't want to upset the show too much, so try to control yourselves during the show. But just so you get it all out, everybody get together on the count of three, let's you really hear a nice horn blast. Get it out of your system, and then wait till New Year's. Music to my ears. You guys got a lot of hot air. You feel better now? You ready for the show? We're going to bring up our first act tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Coming up to the stage from Southern California, a regular here at Laughs Unlimited, very special treat to have her this evening. She headlines all over the country, a featured act at the Comedy Store in Southern California all the time. Also a regular on the Thick of the Night show. She'll be seen again January 9th with two repeat performances on Thick of the Night in February. Ladies and gentlemen, a wonderful round of applause. Our first act tonight, the very beautiful Lois Bromfield, right here. Lois Bromfield.
You look great, real sophisticated and stuff. That's great. Can I see your glasses for a second? I won't ruin them, I promise. I'll be real careful. Oh, did I? Oh, look, I see them again. Or I'll smack your face so hard. Oh, that's right, I remember you. Yeah. These are beautiful. Look at these. So classy looking, and you'll be wanting these back real soon. These are great, though. These are strong. You don't have to call home to see if everything's okay. You can look towards your house. You kids, put that down. These are great. You can start fires and shit. This is great. Burn little holes in your clothes. Yeah, you take them off, there's a one eye right now. Glasses are great. They give you power, don't they? What do you do? Did I find out? What do you do? Where do you work at? Oh, you're a lab technician. Yeah, so you can see all kinds of bacteria and stuff real close. Don't go into work, just look at the building. That's it. These are great. Glasses do give you power, though. I had a boyfriend who wore glasses, and I'm telling you, it was so awful because we'd have fights and stuff, and he'd make me feel real bad and really awful. And I'd have a fight, and I'd turn to him, and I don't wear glasses, so I turned to him, and I'd go, "Look, I don't need you anymore. I'm getting out." Real dramatic and real stupid. You know how you get gals? You get like the 40s actors when you have a fight, and you get real mad and real mean, and your shoulders get big, and you walk out, "I'm leaving." And, But he wore glasses, and he'd always make me feel real bad by doing shit like this. Real powerful, real authority with glasses. He'd go like this. But I think bank tellers have the most fun with glasses. I bank at a bank where everybody's in a bad mood all the time, real awful, you know? And they are real bitchy, really awful. And you go into the bank, and like my bank, the one clerk that I always go to, she wears glasses, and she's really awful, and she does stuff like this with her glasses and really uses her authority with her glasses. She goes like this. She looks at my passbook, and she goes, "Well, you don't have any fucking money. Next." A lovely woman. So awful. But my favorite thing is people who do this. My favorite thing is people who do this. You know, it's funny. I don't really need to wear glasses. So awful. These are fun, though. I'm over here, by the way. Because you're looking behind you. Fuck, I don't know. And you can wear them on your head and stuff. It's great. Did you almost fall just then? I'm a charmer. Boy. I can't hear what you're saying. Oh, fuck off. I hate you. Do you carry anything in your purse to protect yourself? Mace or anything? You don't? So what do you do? What do you do? That's a great way to defend yourself. I have a friend who tells me that she just puts on an attitude. You know, attitude works every time. If somebody's going to attack her, she just goes, "Don't, okay?" Person's in a bad mood. I'm not going to piss them off anymore. Okay. Well, these are great. So I guess you want to put these back on now. Do you have a little napkin? I'll clean them for you. You don't? Just wear them dirty. Fuck it. Who cares? It's New Year. The cheap stuff. Lovely woman. Well, it doesn't matter. You still get drunk. bubbly, it's effervescent. Feels good coming back up. That's good. Is this your husband? Boyfriend? Trick? What is it?
No, I don't know. I mean, no. I mean, you walk parallel on the sidewalk together? I mean, what is... No commitment here at all. Is this just a friend, right? Yeah? Well, how long are you... What is that? Is that your pimp back there? Men on the line coming in. Did you really meet him in the line? That's great, did you? No. He picked him up outside. Well, he's a working associate or something. She's making shit up now. She's just making things up. Yeah, that's what I'll say. I met him outside. Yeah. It's wacky, but it just might work. Yeah. That's great. So that's real nice. I was wondering, because I want to find somebody who's on a first date. Anybody on a first date here tonight?
We are.
No, everybody's gotten laid. Good, okay. Well, are you on? Yeah, he's alone. Surprised. No, you're a lovely guy. No, you're a nice guy. You've got lots of friends, and that's important, because you need them. The kind of guy who has a life membership at Jim Cook. Okay, but those are hard to get, aren't they? It's so New Year's, it's so great, though. It's so much fun, and we're all going to scream and go berserk and throw up on ourselves, but it's fun. And I love it. I go crazy. But I remember last year I was on a date with some fella. I wasn't working, and I was on a date and just poured that drink all over her lap. And that's so nice. What a gentleman. And then takes the bottle and goes, fuck it. But I was on a date with this fella, and it was really awful. I don't know about you gals out there, but I get real scared when I'm on a date with somebody I like a lot. And I can't be myself, you know. I can't be a pig woman. And... It's true, though. Now, don't you gals try to tell me that, you know, you act different. You know, when you like somebody, you act a lot different. Like, for example, I get terrified of things happening. Like, I'm always afraid I'm going to get food stuck in my teeth all night. All night long, I'm not going to know I got a big piece of lettuce or an olive right here. And you feel like such a moron, right? You're smiling all night going, smiling. And he's going, what is that thing right there? Do I have to wear one of those to be with you? What is that? I get so terrified of stuff like that. Jesus, it's awful. Or being a pig woman, or like eating food. You can never eat food the same way in front of a guy, you know, for the first time. Like it's true. You go home, you know, when you're by yourself, you can just be a pig, right? Nobody can see you. And, you know, no matter how much of a lady you think you are, any of you gals, any of you fellas, don't let your girlfriends fool you, because when they go home, it's like they close the door and go, food!
My food!
It's true. Pig woman, I'm telling you. And it's true. And then, you know, but when you go on a date with somebody, you can't do that. And I was out on a date one night with this fellow. We were sitting there. It was real nice and real romantic and stuff. And I was really afraid to be a pig woman and get, like, food on my face and go, hey, kiss me, come on. And it's such a pig. And so we're sitting there. It's real nice, you know, real romantic and stuff. And I didn't eat very much because I was afraid I'd be a pig. And you know, when you don't eat a lot, your stomach gets real empty. And it makes that real attractive sound, real feminine, you know. We're sitting in the car a couple hours later. We're driving along. It's real nice and quiet. Little music playing, real romantic, real nice. And all of a sudden, my stomach went, I want some food now. It was so awful. And he said, what was that? I go, what was what? Nothing.
Come on, food, Jack in the Box, 7-Eleven. Come on, pig woman, come on.
You ever had that happen? It's so awful. And it's such a nightmare. But you know that feeling when you finally get home, gals, and you can finally be a pig woman? Oh, God. Such a great... You don't need to get laid. You just want to be near food, you know? Just be near food. She's got food all over her top. And yeah. It's true, though. When you finally get home and you can finally be a pig and you go into your bedroom and you change into your eating clothes? Oh, God. No bread, just roast beef
raw. My food.
Awful. Then you go into the kitchen and unhinge your jaw and tip back the fridge. That's always nice. Such a pig. It's so awful being a pig woman. I don't know. Going on dates is weird because of stuff like, you know, I always get turned off by things like when a fellow, you go into a nice restaurant and you're sitting there, it's real nice, and the fellow will turn to you, you've had a nice evening, you know, everything's gone just perfectly, the wine, dinner, everything's nice, and the guy will turn to you and say, hey, taste this, see if it's bad. Great, bring on all the rotted food. Little mold, let me try it. I don't know about you gals, but I mean, I guess when I was younger, I was pretty naive about stuff. I mean, a guy would say, and I know every woman in this audience has heard this. You've heard this a million times, and it makes you go berserk, but it's very funny, you know? So I remember when I was younger, and the first time I was at this fellow's apartment, and he said to me, look,
Maybe go crazy. So look, you can stay with me. Excuse yourself. You can stay with me. You can sleep in my bed, and I won't touch you. I'll fuck you, but I won't touch you. What I love is when they make you sort of say, well, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't stay. You go, no, look, I'll even leave my underwear on. Ooh, and nothing can get through that. I feel real safe now. I'll do a striptease act, and I know your underwear's on, so there's no problem. Better than a door, yes, sir. Going on dates is so awful, I don't know, it's a nightmare, but I do it. Come here, and of course, New Year's, it's really fun, but I have a great time, and I love going to all your shops here, and I went to this little shopping center called, whatever it's called, the shopping center, just a generic name, the shopping center, go there, but I went to your shopping center, I was stealing some clothes today, and I had so much fun in there, and I was looking at clothes and stuff, and they play this music that makes you buy stuff, and I know when you go shopping, they do this to you, you know, you go in, you don't want to buy anything, you're just walking through the store and stuff, and just checking things out, and they start to play that music, and after about 10 minutes, like, da-da-da-da, da-dun, dun, 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 dun. After about 10 minutes, I was going, hey, okay. $80, I'm a jerk, okay. I'm walking out with stuff I didn't want, you know. I don't know, I have so much fun though, going shopping and stuff. Where do you go shopping? Wine stuff. But are you a model now? Wine stuff. I'm wearing the full spring life. What? I say what, and they'd be quiet. You know, it's like a Kmart. There's a lovely woman. Well dressed too. That's nice. Yeah, Kmart's nice clothes, huh? You want fucking shirts with unicorns on them? Did you go to college? She's got her foot on the stage like this. Somebody like kick you in the back? Are you? Yeah. Feel free to just lounge. You know, if you want to. If you're cold, wrap the curtain around you and shit. Do whatever you feel is right. That's it. I was at a college because I wanted to. I'm from Canada originally. Anybody from Canada? No. Really? You're from Canada? Where in Canada? Huh? Newfoundland. There you go. Sounds like a thing you get on your lip, a little Newfoundland. This Newfoundland's got to come out. From Newfoundland. That's a hip place, isn't it? Yeah, you want to be from there. No, I'm from Toronto, in Toronto, and you're from Newfoundland, and you swam here tonight, and you're happy to be here. No, but that's great. I wanted to go to college, but I'm from Canada, and I'll tell you something. I wanted to go to college so badly I didn't go, because I feel free to sneeze, don't worry about me. I wanted to go so badly, but I used to watch these movies about college life, you know, and they weren't like just normal movies that you guys have here, normal stuff, but you Americans would send all their awful films up there and put them on slower for us. And it's true, really awful. But I used to watch these movies about college life, right? And they were really stupid, really, they never meant anything, real silly. And they'd have four characters in them, right, in college films. And they were like murder mysteries, and they were always in black and white, and cost about $4 to make, real stupid. And they'd have four main characters. The first three characters in these college films were the three girls, right, the three real tough girls of the school that set all the trends and were real tough and real brave and real bold and flirted with all the guys and hated all the girls. And they hung around together all the time, the three gals. And there was a blonde, a brunette, and a redhead. And their names were like Donna, Sandra, and Debbie, right, the three sluts of the school, right? And the film would be called something like Sorority Women from Hell, real stupid name for the film, right, with like runny letters and stuff, real stupid. And they'd have them, and you see them at the beginning of the movie standing there on the campus, and they wore like really pointy shoes, you know, with a little, like for people with one toe, and really awful. And they'd wear like really, really tight, tight blouses, and their tits always stuck out, and they were real tough, real, real tough. And they wore like lots of jewelry and lots of makeup and stuff, and their hair was always all frizzed out and lots of lipstick, and they'd smoke cigarettes. They had lipstick on the end, they bought them that way, and real awful. Real awful. And they'd smoke cigarettes, and they'd walk around, and they'd see some guy walk by, and they'd go, and they'd shoot down, and they'd go, hey, Bob, why don't you come on over later and see us? And they were just real obnoxious, and they'd laugh real loud, and you hated them. Everybody hated them in the whole campus, right? And you hated them watching them on the TV. You hated them. And every time you'd see them in the film, in this movie, you'd hear their theme music. You'd hear this. They'd be smoking. You'd hear, dun, 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 dun. So when you heard that music, you knew you were going to see the three awful, tough girls in the campus, right? So in this film with the three sorority women from hell was this one girl who was real weird, you know, real quiet, real subdued, real scared of everything. And she never looked anybody straight in the eye, you know. And her name was Irma Munson. And she was real strange. And she wore, like, real long skirts with a pin through her skirt, through her leg, and back through her skirt again. And She was real weird, you know, real scared like this. And she never wore jewelry or anything. She was real smart. She wore her clothes all done up to the top and real short hair, no makeup or anything, no jewelry, nothing. And had her books all attached to her chest like this. And she was real scared. And every time you'd see her in the movie, you'd hear this. Dun, dun. Ah. Ding, ding. So you knew there was something not quite right with Irma.
Wasn't good.
So she was mental. So every time the girls would see Irma, they'd taunt her and tease her and push her because she was so weird and she had cooties and she smelled funny. The whole bit, everything was wrong. They made everything wrong with her, you know? So that she'd walk by minding her own business, never bothering anybody, just being smart and to herself and scared of the three girls, right? She'd walk by and the girls would see her, they'd go, "Hey, Irma, look at your stupid clothes. You can't even get a guy." Dun, 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 dun. "You're that stupid." She'd go, "Leave me alone. I've done nothing to you." Dun, 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 dun. "Irma's gonna go nuts." Dun, 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 dun. Go, 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 go. And every day, all the time, no matter what, she'd walk by and the girls would go, "Irma, Irma, Irma, stupid, ugly Irma." Dun, 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 dun. She go, "Please, no more. Leave me alone." Dun, 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 dun. Riku, oh, Irma's gonna go nuts. Dun, 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 dun. Go, 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 go. So one day. So one day, Irma's walking home, right? And it's like 6 months. She's been bugged every day, all the time. She can't take anymore. Her glasses are cracked on one side. She's really getting pissed. And she's walking home, right? It's pouring rain, and the girls are in their sorority house. They got the music turned up real loud, and they're dancing and smoking and fooling around with guys, and they're just disgusting, awful. They got their tops off and stuff, and you can hear the music real loud. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, they're disgusting, right? And Irma's walking home, and it's raining, and the rain is stopping right here because it's fucking scared of her, too. So it's not good. And she's walking along, and you can hear her shoes in the mud going. And she's walking home, and you hear, dun, 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 dun. Here comes Irma. Dun, 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 dun. Here comes. In the sorority house, you hear, dun, 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 dun. We're so awful. She walks in, and the girls go, "Hey, Irma, why don't you dance for us? Why don't you dance for us, Irma? You can't even get a guy. You're so stupid. Irma, Irma, Irma. Stupid, ugly Irma. Dun, 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 dun." She goes, "No more, please. Dun, 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 dun. Riku, oh, Riku, oh." And her glasses crack on the other side. Dun, 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 dun. Riku. And she runs into her room and she's going, "No more, please. I've done nothing." Down the hall, you hear, dun, 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 dun. And all of a sudden, she picks up a letter opener off her desk. Dun, 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 go. Dun, 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 Riku, oh. Irma's finally gone berserk. Dun, dun. She's gone fucking nuts. Dun, 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 dun. Riku, oh. Starts walking down the hall towards the girls' room. Riku, ah, Riku, ah, here comes Irma. That's how you walk when you're gonna kill somebody. Riku, ah, Riku. And down the hall you hear, dun, 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 Riku, ah, dun, 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 Riku. And the girls see her and they go, "Oh my god, it's Irma, oh my god." And she goes, "Kick it up, kick it up, kick it up." And she kills them all. So that's why I never went to college. Thank you very much. You've been very nice.
What a lady! Oh! You having a good time? Good, keep that thought. Woo! What a crowd, what a show! Right now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to bring up our next act in amongst the horns. Once again, try not to interrupt the show too much because we want to keep things going right along. We don't want to miss midnight, you know. Coming up, ladies and gentlemen, our special guest we told you about. He's here just for this evening, and then he's going to be staying through as a headliner last week, but we brought him up early as a special treat for this show. He is a normal headliner here at Laughs Unlimited. He's from Russia, originally. He's been done he just had an article on him in People Magazine, Playboy Magazine, and Penthouse. He is coming out in a movie this April starring Robin Williams, and he's the co-star. It's called Moscow on the Hudson. It's coming out this April starring Robin Williams, co-starring Yakov Smirnoff. Keep an eye out for that. Very talented young man. Let's give him a nice round of applause from Russia, Yakov Smirnoff. Let's hear it. Yeah, come on.
And that's what happens. I am actually from Russia. I was born there, grew up there, worked as a comedian out there. Got out of Russia 6 years ago, very unusual way, alive. What surprises me that Americans don't know that we have comedy in Russia. We have comedians. They're there. They're dead. They're there. It's hard to do comedy in Russia because you gotta write out all your material and you send it to Department of Jokes. I'm not making this up. They send it back to you, censored, and you have to stay with the script. You can't improvise. If somebody heckles you from the audience, you can't say, like, your mother wears army boots. Because she probably does. And she'll hurt you, you know? Yeah. It's great that the comedy out here. You can go on the stage and actually say anything you want to. You can go even to President Reagan and say, I don't like Reagan. We can do the same thing in Russia. We can go to Andropov and say, I don't like Reagan. Almost the same thing. I got into comedy in Russia. I entered the contest on the best political joke. First prize was 20 years. Should have been a good joke. And the guy who won the contest, he was telling Polish jokes. Polish people bought 200 septic tanks and they will attack Russia when they learn how to drive them. Or how many Russians does it take to screw Poland? And there was no punchline. They gave him 20 years to think of one. So he's still working on it. They didn't like the joke I told them. I don't know why. Would you like to hear the joke? В России есть такое правило. You heard this joke? Okay. I'll tell it in English. There is a rule in Russia. If they ask you who is your father, you're supposed to answer, my father is Soviet Union. Who is your mother? My mother is Communist Party. Whom you want to be? I want to be a builder, for example. They ask me who is your father. I said, my father is Soviet Union. Who is your mother? My mother is Communist Party. Whom you want to be? I want to be an orphan. And after that, I was supposed to go to winter camp. It's like summer camp, but in Siberia. Siberia is a very interesting place. Siberia has the world's fastest dogs. Because in Siberia, trees are 200 miles apart. It's like to pee or not to pee. It's a wasteland. There is no civilization, no communication. You cut off from humanity. It's like Bakersfield. Not as bad as Bakersfield. That's when I realized I want to get out of Russia, but it's not easy to get out of Russia because you apply for a visa, but they give you MasterCard. What are you going to do with a MasterCard? So after 2 years of waiting, I got an answer, get out. And I'm flying American Airlines, and it's the first time in my life I was introduced to American people. I didn't know how Americans look because we used to watch movies from America like Three Stooges. And they would tell us that's how Americans look, you know. Whoop, 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 whoop. You. And that's how they explain why we need so many weapons. Because if somebody hits you with a shovel in the face, you gotta have a missile or something. So here I am on the airplane. Now airplanes are so different. You know, in Russia, we didn't have like frills. We would buy first class tickets to have some advantages, like you can sit down. You know, restrooms outside. And it's a bitch when you're facing the wrong way. So here I am on the plane. They gave me headphones. I'm watching a movie. Something was funny in the movie. I start laughing. Now my laughter is a little bit different than American people laugh like, because we're not allowed to laugh out, so we laugh in. And it sounds obnoxious. It's like... So I start laughing and the oxygen mask fell out. Then stewardess announced, please bring your seats all the way forward. I had no tools. And they're screwed to the floor. You know? Then I walked into a restroom and there is a sign next to the toilet that says, no foreign objects allowed. And it's 12 hours flight. Wasn't funny then. My first stop in America was in Cleveland, Ohio. Anybody from Cleveland by chance? Are you? They made me feel at home in Cleveland, so I had to escape again. I make fun of Cleveland only because everybody makes fun of Cleveland. Every country has a city people make fun of. In Russia, we used to make fun of Cleveland. Then I got to New York. New York was fun. I walked out of the airplane. I saw my name written, big letters, Smirnov. And I said to myself, what a country. I didn't speak English. I couldn't find a job, so I was selling drugs for $3 an hour. They told me it's a union scale. I didn't know about drugs. They don't have drugs in Russia. They're all in Afghanistan. That's why they invaded the country. And troops been told to get out of there about a year ago, but they too stoned to find the border. Smoking the cigarettes called Gustavsky. Moscowy Wowie. The only drugs they do have are downers. We call them bullets. Delmelia. Oh, wow. Bitching. Everybody was telling me, try drugs. Try drugs. So I tried Xlox. And I wasn't getting high. I was sitting real low. Then someone gave me that white powder, cocaine, and they said, if you want to make it last longer, chop it up as a razor. So I used my Norelco. That was a mistake. Now every time I shave, it costs me $200. Then I tried acid, burned my lips. I realized I can't sell drugs for a long time. I have to learn new language to get a decent job. So I locked myself into a room and I was watching television for 3 months, and then I realized it was a Spanish station. The only job I could get was body and fender work. I'll tell you, English is not an easy language. I've been in America 6.5 years and I still make mistakes. I was performing a couple of weeks ago at the Comedy Store in Los Angeles. The girl came over to me after the show and she said, I enjoyed your show, I had a gas. Now, I appreciate the honesty, but I don't want to know. Then she invited me to her place and she said, would you like some cheesecake? I said, I don't really like cheesecake. Do you have anything like jello or something? She said, oh yeah, I have plenty of jello. I have jello coming out of my ears. I said, I'll have cheesecake. Why bother with jello? English is a very interesting language. I was reading newspaper. The ad in the paper said, big sale last week. Now, why advertise? I already missed it. They're just rubbing it in. I was working one club in Texas. And the club owner came over to me after the show and he said, you're doing a good job, but you're getting a little hoarse. I said, I thought I'm getting cash. That was the deal. But I like that little pony. It's nice. He had a big farm near Dallas and he took me to his farm. Now, I'm from Odessa, Russia, and I it's a big city. I never was familiar with animals. And he was very nice. He took me around, showed me everything, and explained me about every animal. He even let me milk his bull. And I learned something. You milk this animal once, you have a friend for life. He was following me around. Very nice animal. Yeah. I was in England about a month ago. I was doing a television show there, and it was interesting because I English is very hard for me to understand because they use certain expressions that Americans don't use. Like, for example, they call restroom, they call toilet. And I walked on the British Airways on a plane. I walked into a restroom, and there's a sign on the door that says, "No smoking in the toilet." Now, why would I do that anyway? The lid would hit me on the head. It's stupid, you know. Then I'm checking the hotel in London, and they call erasers, they call rubbers. And the clerk wanted to erase something, and he said to his partner, "Can I borrow your rubber for a second?" Now, I said, "What kind of hotel is this? You gotta borrow a rubber for a second? And I hardly know you. Please take me to dinner or something." You know? The word yep was very confusing. Yep in English means yes. In Russian it means sex. I'm not making this up. I'm arriving to America. I'm just hearing yep, 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 yep. I said to myself, what a country. Yep. I asked a friend of mine, "You want to do something tonight?" He said, "Yep." I said, "No." You see, we don't have gay people in Russia. We have homosexuals. They just can't be gay about this. They can't. They get 7 years in prison for homosexuality, locked up as other men. And there is 3 years waiting list for that. Yep. I used to make mistakes. I remember when I moved to Los Angeles, I wanted to see Pacific Ocean and go on the beach. Yep. And I asked the girl in the street, "How do you get to Santa Monica Beach?" And she kicked me in the groin. There was no more yep there. I used to walk into ladies' rooms. That was really embarrassing. Because women would scream. You see, in Russia, you walk into the ladies' room, they don't scream. You do. It's not a pretty picture. I don't want to make fun about Russian women because it's not really their fault that they look like that. They don't have oil of LA. They have lard of LA. There's no products for women. We had an exhibition in Moscow about 7 years ago. It was an exhibition of women's underwear. I went there just for fun, not to buy anything. And there was sale. First came French woman and she asked for 7 pair of underwear. I said, "Why do you need 7 pairs?" She said, "Well, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Every day I need different pair." Next was American woman. She asked for 5 pair. "So why do you need 5? She said, "Well, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but Saturday and Sunday I don't need it." Yep. And next is Russian woman, she asked for 12 pairs. I said, "Why do you need 12? She said, "Well, it's a January." Polish woman asked for 4 pairs for summer, winter. It was gross. I used to date Russian girl. She was a very nice girl, but she was large. She looked a lot like Orson Welles, but different color beard. Very big girl, 300 pound a tit. She wasn't wearing a bra, she was wearing leg warmer. And then she bought that cross your heart hammock, you know that thing? She was so much fun. Before work, I'd slap her in the behind, come back, it's still moving. I bought her a hula hoop. She thought it was an engagement ring. Large lady. But I love American women. American women sexually do things that Russian women wouldn't think of doing, like showering. It's great. I love to date. It took me a while to start dating American women. I was dating Valley Girl. And she said, gag me. So I did. You know. When the police came. I think American women like me because I don't know much about America. And I, you know, I'm very easygoing with American women. The only thing I need is like 10 minutes of meaningless sex, you know. And it works. So it's, my dream is to make a baby with an American woman tonight. And that's it. It's great to be here. It's there's so many wonderful things in this country. I love, like, food, for example. Food was very hard for me to adjust because when I grew up, you know, my mother used to put empty plate in front of me and say, starve, there are children eating in America. You know, that was normal. And when I came to America, I used to eat frozen dinners, and then I realized they should be warm, and because mashed potatoes was crunchy, you know, so I knew something was wrong. So I bought microwave oven. I bought it in a garage sale for $25. And it was good, but it didn't have a front door. But it worked, you know. Eventually I bought a front door, and eventually my eyebrows grew back. But my cat gave birth to a guppy, so something was wrong. First restaurant I went to was Denny's restaurant. We don't have Denny's in Russia, thank God. I walked in and they said, how many people in your party? I said, 2 million. And they gave me a corner booth. Very clever. Denny's was an interesting place. So the waiter was bringing my food and he had finger in the soup. And I didn't say anything, you know. Then he brought my the second cork, and he had finger in the gravy. And I said, why do you hold finger in my food? He said, I have infection in my finger. And my doctor told me to keep it in a warm place. So I said, why don't you shove it up your ass? He said, I do it when I'm in the kitchen. You don't like this joke, you'll be telling it tomorrow. Not giving me a credit. Anyway, this is a real Russian suit made in Poland. And don't look for the Union label. Those are Russian designer jeans. Calvin Kremlin. This is what they advertise on Russian television. You see, we don't have different brand names of things. Like clothes would say clothes. Generic stuff. Yeah, that's it. There is no products. I mean, there is no reason to advertise. There's two channels on television. Channel 1 is propaganda. Channel 2, there's a KGB officer who tells you to turn back to channel 1. There's no comedy, no variety. We used to watch shows in Russia, soap operas like One Day to Live. Or Search for All My Children. Game shows like Bowling for Food. Shows like Love Barge or Leave It to Brezhnev. My favorite show was about the guy who has an opportunity to leave Russia but stays, called That's Incredible. Then Wonder Woman, she looks like a woman, but you wonder. Commercials are different too. You have American Express, we have Russian Express. Commercial goes like this. Russian Express card, don't leave home. Reach out, interrogate someone. That's why I like American commercials. They're so cute. I love those dancing cats. Chow, chow, chow. And singing raisins. And a little guy in a boat in the toilet. And then they tell you don't use drugs. I can talk about this because I'm a pepper. I wish I was an Oscar Mayer winner. Can't have it all. Certain commercials are so cute. Like, I love this baby bottles commercial. As good as breastfeeding. What a country. I bought two of them. It's great, no commitment, it's wonderful. I love freedoms you have. I saw this box, says new freedom. And I thought to myself, what a country. Freedom in a box. I bought 15 of them. If any of you need some, I still have it. I didn't know what those things were. I bought Super Maxi. I figured I should get as much freedom as possible. And I would write letters to my friends in Russia, and I would put them in the envelope. I figured they should enjoy some freedom too. Then I read it says sanitary napkins. And I would put them on the table, and people would go, yeah. Then I thought they're like knee pads, you know, or a headband. And people would go, what the hell are you wearing? I don't do it anymore. I buy Stay Free. Sports, American sports are great also. My favorite American sport is golf. I went to play golf about 7 months ago, and my score was 84. We didn't play a second hole. Takes too long. And after the game, a friend of mine showed me a ball washing machine. Do you know this thing? I didn't. It was in the middle of the golf course, and I said to myself, what a country. But it's hard to stay on top of that goddamn thing. And you gotta do it one at a time. And it tickles, you know? And then they have a big billboard that says, please register your ball. What a country. You lose them, they send them back to you. Then I love the expression they have in baseball. When you have four balls, you walk. How can you run with four balls? Here you walk. You walk proud. And very slow. Now, I want to introduce you to the classical Russian instrument, which is a big invention in Russia. Oh. What a country. I'm gonna play the spoons and sing the song for you. Now, if you recognize the song, sing along with me, okay? Can we try that song? Ехали на тройках с бубенцами. Sing along. А вдали мерцали огоньки. Нет теперь соколики за вами. I don't know about you people, but I'm enjoying myself right now. If you recognize this song, please clap your hands. Дорога длинная, да свистни ток, что вдали ты звенья. Агат! Try it! Длинная, да свистную, что по ночам так мучила меня. Hold. Once upon a time, there was a tower. Can I talk to the lady for a second? Where we used to race a glass or two. Remember how we loved the baby hours, remember? Yep. Uh-oh, he's getting urinated off. There's my friend. Can you help me, everybody? I'm sure you know the lyric. We sing and dance forever and a day. Try it, you can do it. The bomb never lose when we were young and sure to have our way.
We're halfway through the show. You haven't got time.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the very memorable Yakov Smirnov. As I mentioned in the beginning, he first came over from Russia about 1977 and started working for my club in the early 80s as an opening act and worked his way up pretty quickly to a featured act and then a headliner. On this particular special one-night-only New Year's show, he was the featured act, and as you can see, as funny as ever. I'm sure you'd recognize, if you don't recognize the name, you'd recognize him. He was in the movie Moscow on the Hudson with Robin Williams. He was a regular on Night Court with our good friend Harry Anderson. And if you didn't know, later on in the 90s and into the 2000s, he had his own theater in Branson, Missouri. That's right. It was the Yakov Smirnoff Theater in Branson, Missouri, where he went on to perform his act live on stage, including Russian singers and dancers, for many, many years. Hey, something else of interest. Yakov Smirnoff hit the peak of his popularity in the mid to late 80s when communism was starting to crash and fall in Russia. In fact, he ended up writing material for Ronald Reagan, who was meeting with Brezhnev and some of those guys during that shutting down of communism. And Yakov ended up being the lead speaker at the correspondence dinner of one of those years. He was a regular at the White House and did a lot of writing for President Ronald Reagan at the time. He has since retired from that and went into academics. He went on to get 2 degrees and is still educating and teaching around the country and still occasionally does a performance here and there. Well, that was our special show for this week. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. Flashing back to 1983 and a New Year's show certainly has a lot of history to it, but I'm sure you agree the comedy stays fresh and still works. Thanks again for listening to the podcast. If you get a chance, share it, rate it, and thanks so much for listening. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Stand Up Comedy, your host and MC. For information on the show, merchandise, and our sponsors, or to send comments to Scott, visit our website at www.standupyourhostandmc.com. Look for more episodes soon and enjoy the world of stand-up comedy. Visit a comedy showroom near you.